Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your half-hour inspirational program. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. That's right, tonight our show is extended for not just a half hour, but it's extended to one full hour for tonight due to the context of tonight's topic. When it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures? When it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures? You know, and this comes from perhaps when people were younger, as kids. We grow up and we hear our parents or other people say that, hey, they come up with all of these sayings and everything, and we, in fact, believe what they're saying that comes from the Bible. And that's why it's so important. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved. Study to show yourself approved. To see, you know, study for yourself. Don't just take someone's word for it, but look the scriptures up for yourself. So tonight we're going to be talking about things like that. When it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures? So we're going to ask the presence of the Holy Spirit to come in with us. Father, we thank you for all your wonderful blessings of today. We thank you for everything that you do for us in the past, the present, and the future, because you're all that in one. So, Lord, as we get into tonight's study and discussion, we ask that you will lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. These and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me go ahead and bring in Lady C, my co-host, so she can say good evening to you all. Lady C, it's so nice to have you with us this evening, and welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's a pleasure being on air this evening. Hi, everyone.
Okay. Excellent. Lady C, let me begin by asking you this question. Have you heard certain things that you thought were in the Bible coming up as a kid, and then only to discover that later on those things were not in the Bible?
Oh, definitely, Dr. Walker. One of my favorite is, God help those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. While it's a good principle thing, because we all need to work to eat, it's really not in the Bible.
So where do people get that from? Where do you think they get it from? Because it's circulated all over there.
You know, I think it's like anything else. When people want to get you to do something or to adhere to certain principles, they just twist the Bible their own little way. And, you know, just to, I don't want to really call it a form of manipulation, but for some things it could be. But in this case where God help those who help themselves, I think it was older people use it as a form of lesson to teach younger people that they need to not be lazy, but work. Because Jesus not only gave the disciples fish, but he taught them to fish for men, you know.
Okay, all right. So, well, interestingly enough, let me go to the phone line. Let me start out early tonight with the phone lines. And we're going to go to, looks like West Palm Beach, 561-777. Who do we have? And welcome to this evening, the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, which is actually your half hour, your 1 hour inspirational program now. We have with us this evening.
Hi, it's Marlene.
Marlene, tell us in your opinion, have you experienced what Lady C has experienced in terms of being told scriptures that you come to find out later? They're not in the Bible.
Yeah, definitely. My mom's favorite one for wearing to church, whatever you feel like wearing, is rending your heart and not your garment. The Bible doesn't say that. It says rent your heart and not your garment. I mean, you should tear up your heart, not your garment. So, yes, definitely.
All right, so do you think that with that being said, do you think that there are people who actually made these scriptures up for themselves for their convenience to sort of use as a control mechanism for your children to put fear, the fear of God in them? What do you think?
I don't know if it's made up for that purpose. I mean, maybe it could be for some people, but it also could be that people might have caught something or thought they heard something but didn't go check for themselves, like Lady C is saying, or you said they don't study for themselves. So they might have thought they heard something and it sounds good and they just keep repeating it. And you just come along with that, come up growing up with that, and you like you really think it's in the Bible. But then as you get older, you realize that this has nothing to do with scripture. It was just a good saying.
Do you challenge those who have said that to you, when they say, well, now that I'm older, mom or dad or cousin or auntie or elder, you know, that's not in the Bible. Why do you all still tell people that stuff when that's not in the Bible?
Right. Yeah, I've said it to my mom. She wasn't offended or anything. I think she just thought that that's what it was. So she was okay finding out that, you know, it really doesn't say that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to ask you to stand by. And there are some others. We're going to go to phone lines once again. Let's go to 786-489. You're live on your 1 hour inspirational program. Who do we have with us and welcome?
This is Stephen. Good evening, Dr. Walker. I hope you have a great day.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Stephen, for joining us. Stephen, what are your thoughts? I mean, have you grown up and still even to this day hear scriptures that people actually cite or quote that really aren't in the Bible, and they're still saying this?
Yeah, they'll do it. Mostly as a kid, I heard it in the 60s. In the 60s, they were saying things, and a couple of the verses were what the previous two young ladies had said. I've heard that before, and it's, like I said, it's not in the Bible. And I heard a pastor a few years ago speak of, like Paul said, they ain't doing nothing in heaven but weeping and crying. Why? Because they want their bodies back. But that's not technically in the Bible. I believe he was paraphrasing, but that's not directly what he said. That's some of his interpretation from the scripture, but it wasn't directly scripture, but it's something similar to what he said. So, yeah, people are doing that. I think it's because they like the saying or whatever they've done it. What pastor people said is like the saying. And nowadays,
yeah,
I know it's a denomination, they actually put the scripture on the screen or let you see the scripture. Or if you have your Bible, you go to the scripture, because a lot of different pastors and denominations, they'll tear scripture up. They'll take it all out of content for their own purpose.
Right. So, Stephen, when I said earlier, do some of these people do this as a control mechanism? What do you think? Do they use or paraphrase the scripture or actually create their own scripture as a control mechanism? Because they know the people don't.
I feel that they, some pastors, some denominations, want to control or sway the congregation or try to give a message, so they will tweak or something of what the scripture says and paraphrase it, but it ain't scripture, but they put it into their own words and change it, and they have a particular purpose why they do that, because it depends on the congregation. They might want them to give more of something
right.
related to Malachi, you know, give more, something like that, and then they'll say, oh, 10% tithe, oh, 10% offering, you know. I mean, it's you know, it depends on the minister, the pastor who's doing what he's trying to do for his congregation, and he's, you know, it's not right. You should tell people the truth, and people should look for themselves in the scripture when a pastor or someone is speaking out of the Bible.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And Lady C, let me bring you in. If the scripture, if the minister did not, or an elder did not give a scripture and they're citing something, should you maybe after the service at some point question them about where this information comes from?
Repeat that for me, Dr. Walker.
So if a minister says, he cites a scripture from that pulpit, and he didn't really give where he or she didn't really give where it's coming from, should at some point you approach them and say, well, where is that scripture found in the Bible? Should you do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it is every Christian and every member's right to approach their minister, pastor, elder, evangelist, whatever, and say, where can I find that scripture? And ask them absolutely anything that pertains to their sermon. Definitely.
Okay, all right. Hey, let me bring you in and ask you this question. Then when they can't really, when they basically, should they, if they're citing their own opinion, should they say that, and this, like, this is not scripture, but this is my, you know, this is what my opinion is. And then, Stephen, I'm going to ask you the question, do they put it on God when they say, well, God impressed this upon my heart? So let's begin with Marlene first and ask that first question. Go ahead, Marlene.
Well, say God impresses upon their heart all they want. I mean, that's their prerogative. But us as members, we still have to go check for ourselves, because it's not so much the man's opinion, it is what thus saith the Lord, and that's what we need to stand on, the scripture and the scripture only.
Okay, all right, Stephen, the same, pretty much the same type of question. I mean, should he separate, or she separate, her opinion, should he separate his or her opinion about that versus what the Bible says? I mean, should they do that? And is the pulpit a place for that?
Yeah, I've heard hundreds of pastors speak from two or three different denominations, basically, and they will have you to believe, or some of them, you know, that you it was inspired for them to say this, and that's when I open up the Bible myself, and they don't quote it per se, they just give their, I don't want to say opinion, but that's what it is. But it for coming from a pastor who's been ordained, is just something they felt the Lord press upon their heart to say it. You see what I'm saying? And I've heard that a lot. The Lord has pressed upon my heart to tell you this, you know, and, you know, this is what I'm saying to you. I've heard a lot of that, you know. And I think the Holy Spirit came to them and had them to say this, and it wasn't in the Bible, something they, and because I've seen pastors try to manipulate the congregation and try to do something. He wants his agenda done inside the church, and he'll do that.
Right. Right. That happens a lot. Let's go to Lady C. Lady C, I want you to touch on that as well. I mean, is it an opinion? Is the pulpit a place for that? Or is it that should they even use the pulpit for that?
I don't believe so, Dr. Walker. I mean, I think if more members would question their pastors, evangelists, bishop, reverend, whatever they call it, if they were supposed to question them more, ask them where they get their facts from, if it's facts any at all, where they can find such scriptures, et cetera, and go into the Bibles themselves, then there would be less denominations. One.
Right. That's an excellent point.
Right?
That's an excellent. Go ahead.
Yeah. And two, I think that if you're going, it's okay to explain the Bible in your own terms, like, say, modernize it to the English term or the American term or whatever term you want it, without changing thus saith the Lord. You don't have to change God's word just because you're trying to make it clear, you're modernizing it for people to understand. You know,
right.
I mean, and a lot of people and a lot of preachers sneakily do that with the enemy behind them, I must say.
Right. Okay, now I'm going to ask one of you all that I have on the line to give me just the first sentence of the fourth commandment. Anybody can chime in at any point in time. Just the first sentence. What does it say? Without looking it up. Okay, you don't. Stephen, do you know what the first sentence is?
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Okay, is that, Lady C, is that what it says? Exactly what Stephen said? Is that what the, without looking it up, is that what it says?
That's what it says. As far as I know, that's what it says.
Okay, and quote it again. Not you, Stephen, this time, but Lady C, quote it. What does it say? Without looking it up?
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt worship.
I just wanted the first sentence.
God.
First sentence. So
remember
now,
this aspect.
Right, right. So now, and I agree with both of you all that the King James Version says that, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the first sentence in there. And so now my question becomes, now when we go to the next wording, even if you don't know it all, Stephen, begin us with the second part of that. It says what?
Remember God to keep holy. 6 days. That's the labor and do all that work.
Right. But then go on and he says, what else? The scripture tells us what else?
6 days thy labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work.
Right. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And he tells us to refrain from working. So let me ask you all this. So in line with tonight's topic, when it comes to Bible scripture, do people make up their own scripture? So someone help me understand, where in the Bible the Sabbath, God makes reference to the Sabbath as being, does he give a day? Does he give Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Does he give a day? Let me begin with you, Stephen. Does he give a day?
He doesn't give a. He gives a number, the seventh day, and the day is called the Sabbath, and Sabbath means rest, but not a day as in nowadays they're talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Not that kind of day during the week that people are used to right now.
Okay, I'm going somewhere with this, Lady C. So you agree with Stephen that God gives a number and not a day. He doesn't give Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He doesn't give a day. Is that fair to say?
No, he didn't. He did not give the name of a day. He gave the number of a day.
Okay, so how do we begin to – so, Lady C, how do we begin to count this number so that we'll know that the seventh day is the Sabbath? How do we begin to count that?
Well, I'll just say what God says from Genesis. It says the first day of the week, and then it says the second, and then the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Okay, so then
when he goes for the seventh, he said, remember the seventh day to keep it holy.
Yeah. So what is the first day? He didn't give a calendar day. So where do we get this from?
First one.
Okay, Stephen, so where do we get this from? well, you know, people making up their stuff.
Yeah, God gave day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then the calendar came. You know, you had Genesis, and then the calendar came, and the calendar, the Romans or whoever started doing calendar days, they start putting stuff because sun is from the sun. Sunday is from the sun. Monday, I think, is the moon, but I don't know all of it. But they
right.
got their days. They start designating these days and putting the name on these days of the week.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's go to the phone line. We're going to go to New York, 347-740. Welcome to your one-hour inspirational program. Who do we have with us on the air this evening?
Thank you for accepting my call, Dr. Walker. This is Monica.
Monica, thank you for joining us this evening. Monica, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I'm trying to figure out why is this so difficult, you know, in terms of people making up their own scripture, even to the point of the day of worship, when God gave us specifics on this. Give me your thought on that.
Okay. Well, all scripture is given by inspiration from God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. Now we are encouraged to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, will rightly divide the word of truth. We, every man, have to give an account. So you have to know God for yourself. If something is presented and you are not acquainted with it, you have no knowledge of it, it is your responsibility to search that out, to find the truth, because it's only the truth that eventually that is going to set us free. The Bible tells us that there will be people will try to deceive you, but you have to study the word of God for yourself and know the truth for yourself, because there are many who will try to misinterpret the Bible to put their own spin on it. So the only way you would not be led astray is to know it for yourself.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Monica. We appreciate that. Lady C, let me bring you back in. Okay. So the seventh day, you know, God hallowed it. Did he sanctify that day?
That's what he said.
He said that in Scripture. So I'm going to ask, did he sanctify that day, though?
Yes, he said he sanctified it and he made it holy.
So that's in the scripture that he sanctified the Sabbath day.
That's in the scriptures. Yeah.
Okay.
I saw that in the scripture.
Someone, if they'll find that, if they get an opportunity. But now, so, okay, let's take a look now. We're talking about the seventh day, and here's where I'm going with this. Then why is it then, Stephen, this question's for you, why is it then that if that's the case, first let's establish what is the seventh day? In your opinion, and why is that seventh day for you?
Well, the seventh day is the Sabbath, which means rest. Sabbath means rest. The Lord
right.
stopped doing, or did all his work for 6 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He made
right.
it, the moon, stars, and all that for 6 days, and he rested on the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And
right.
that's the way God did it. Okay.
Okay.
Now man came into a situation, I think, in reference to the first day, Sunday, that came into, from my understanding, talking with some people, Christianity as far as Jesus rose on Sunday. A lot of people give privilege to Sunday that Jesus rose on Sunday, and that was one of the reasons they use that day to worship on.
Okay, but the question applies to you. What day of worship do you worship on, and why is that seventh day for you?
Well, it's a
how
day
did that come to be?
It came to be because it's thus said the Lord, and the seventh day relates to me in this day and age as Saturday from Friday evening sunset, which depends on where you're at, an hour or so, the sun was set. Friday evening is actually begins the first day. In the evening, in the morning was the seventh day. The evening, in the morning, the sun is setting evening, and then when the sun set, it's morning. That is the day of the Lord in Genesis. Okay, that makes the next day, the evening and morning make the next day, not 12 o'clock midnight. You follow me? 12 o'clock midnight.
I do, but then it's not week. Why are we so conditioned to think morning is when we can see daylight? Why?
Right.
If that's not what God is telling us.
Yeah, that's a condition that we all, even myself, went through early in life. It's the evening and the morning. Morning is when, after the sun sets, that becomes the morning. That's the next day. But we have been conditioned to believe that because we've been influenced by humans, by men, that's the way they put their particular calendar, because they want to be all powerful and all glory, the kings and queens of these powerful worlds back in the day. They wanted to be, that's why they had all that gold and jewelry stashed away somewhere, because they thought they was going to reappear and have all that gold and jewelry and gold and stuff.
Right.
They ain't got nothing. They're still dead.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Stephen. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, when it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scripture? And then, you know, I'm trying to figure out why, even with the scriptures, how are people confused about it, and why they, you know, why they do what they do, even in terms of making up scriptures. Let's go to 786-797. Welcome to your one-hour inspiration program. Who do we have with us?
Good evening, Dr. Walker. This is Ms. Brandon. How are you?
Ms. Brandon, fine. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm on the road, so I won't be on long.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you. Any short time is fine. Tell us, for you, we've just looked at the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, and it tells us that clearly God said remember, and there's a reason why he put the word remember there. And now it goes on to tell us that 6 days he made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested and he hallowed it. Now he set that aside as the Sabbath day. So now I'm talking with Stephen, and he's giving me his perspective on Sabbath and why, because it's the seventh day, and he says, thus said the Lord, which I looked at it, and according to what he's saying, based on calendar here in America, that 7 day is accurate, what he's saying. What do you say that the Sabbath is? And is it what the Word of God says?
Well, like he said, he's looking at it from a biblical standpoint. You know, I always look at it from a different standpoint. Everybody has their own interpretation depending on the religion that you practice. So,
right, but then I'm asking, my question is, what does God say? So are you telling me then that no matter what God says, we kind of do whatever we want to do? God he's just said that, but maybe he don't mean it. I mean, help me out here. Why do
no,
we have to
God
listen?
Means what he said, and we should listen to what the Holy Bible says, but there again, you have other people's interpretation of the Bible, and even what God says, they put their take on it. Jehovah Witness,
all right, so,
Methodist,
so,
Baptist.
So Sabbath for you is what day?
Sabbath is for me is Sunday. That's how
Sunday.
I grew up. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
how did you?
So it's a practice that grew up in my household, which was
right.
The Sabbath.
Asking you, okay, so I know you say people interpret things. So how did it come to be that God's word said, remember the seventh day? And so I'm confused here because I'm looking at the calendar now, and it says Sunday is the first day. So I'm trying to figure that one out. Help me with that, Ms. Brainerd, please.
Well, even though Sunday is the first day, it just goes back from slavery time to when they could go to church and do what and learn the Bible and do what they needed to do for their own religion. So it goes from back to the slavery days, even though the Bible said, because you have to remember during slavery time, they had to learn how to read. So interpretation goes, you know, like I said, to each individual's religion. So even though
right.
the Sabbath, the seventh day is Saturday, that, you know, we don't practice the seventh day because that we look at Jehovah Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist, but our Sabbath for me, it's Sunday, even though Sunday is the first day of the week. For me, Monday
well, now
is the
I'm
first
really
day of the week.
I am really confused because that's the first time I've ever heard about slavery, because what I've heard was in A.D. 325, the Roman Catholic Constantine changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. So now I'm really confused, Ms. Brainerd. So it almost seems like if man told us to do something, it seems like we're, and I'm just wondering here, I need to be unconfused, if that's a word, because if man told us to do something and God told us to do something, I would rather follow God. But we're going to actually stand by, Ms. Brandon. Let's go to West Palm Beach 561-574. Who do we have with us, please? 561-574. Okay, let's go back up to Lady C. Let's go back up to Lady C. Lady C, I am really confused.
This is Mrs. Evans.
I think...
Mr. Walker, good afternoon. This is Mrs. Evans.
Okay, Ms. Evans, I'm going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Lady C, let me bring you back in. Lady C, I'm really confused because, you know, I'm looking at the Bible, I'm looking at the calendar, and I'm just thinking that the seventh day is Saturday. That's what I'm thinking. And now I got Stephen on the phone. He's saying Saturday. Ms. Brandon is saying Sunday. The Word of God says, so I'm really confused. How do I get unconfused, if that's a word? Lady C.
You know, Dr. Walker, there's a thin line, a very thin line between sincerity and truth. And if we say we love God, it doesn't matter how we were brought up, in what way we were brought up. There comes a time when we just have to let go off of culture and the way we were brought up and or family ties. And obey God. The Bible says, choose whom this day whom you will serve. It also says it's better to obey God rather than man. So even though back in the days, as my sister says, that's how the slaves were allowed to, that's the only day they had that was free to them so they could go worship, it still doesn't make it right. And the fact that we're no longer in slavery, but we now have a choice. Do we have to stay in slavery? So it's like we're still under mental bondage by the white man because that's the only day they allowed us to worship God. So what about what God wants us, the day that God wants us to worship him? So you're confused, Dr. Walker, and I'm really troubled in my heart because
okay,
so
but
many
see, now, you know, and I'm not blaming any ethnic group at all. Because
no,
I think that, you know,
either.
And I don't necessarily say that it's the white man's fault, but I'm looking at any man, black man, anybody, in terms of what have we decided for ourselves. That's what I'm saying. I got to bring, Ms. Evans, let me bring you in. I am really just like, excuse me, Stephen said something that was really interesting. He mentioned about the Sabbath is Saturday. And he also mentioned that the seventh day, because I guess he's counting his calendar from Sunday to Saturday. And somebody help me, please. Ms. Evans.
Yes, Mr. Walker. Yes, sir. Well, we have the biblical background here. According to the Bible, it says it asks the question, and if we can go scripture by scripture, we can cover that. And we have Mark 2, verse 28. Anybody can turn to Mark 2, verse 28. We are going to establish the Sabbath here. Mark 2, verse 28. We're going to go even from the Old Testament, first of all. Mark chapter 2, verse 28, Mr. Walker. Mark 2, verse 28. And I'm going to read in your hearing. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I know we don't have much time. Exodus 20, verse 10. I'm going to read Exodus 20, verse 10. For the caller that is confusing the Sabbath and Sunday. Exodus 20, verse 10. Give me a minute. Exodus 20.
All right. Why she's looking for that?
Verse 10. It says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And you know what it says, no work. We should do no work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And we could go to Exodus 16. We have a lot of text here to back up that the Lord's day is the Sabbath day. When we go to Matthew 28, verse 1, it reminds us of the day when Mary Magdalene, it was the end of this of Sunday, of Sabbath. It says the first day of the week, end of the Sabbath. Matthew 28. I can't go through all of the text to prove to whoever is there to let him know that the Sabbath is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Seventh day. I'm going to read this for you, Mr. Walker. And this is taken from Matthew 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. He said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulcher. Okay.
Stop you right there. Let me just, I got to bring Stephen in, and then we're going to bring Ms. Brainham back in. Stephen, because
okay.
you, I mean, we're talking about, when it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures? So if they make up their own scriptures, then, because I'm trying to figure out, and we got a show upcoming, that why do we have so many different denominations and there's one creator? I just don't get that. So, Stephen, here, let me ask you this question, Stephen. Have you ever been to Spain?
No, not Spain. I haven't been to Spain.
Okay, all right. Let me, Ms. Brainerd, have you ever been to Spain?
No, I have not.
Anybody here on the line ever been to Spain?
No,
okay,
not.
Assuming that no one has been to Spain, I've been to Spain, and surprisingly, I saw the Spanish calendar, and it was different from the American calendar. The first day of the week over there was actually Monday. Actually, Monday. Just when you're thinking that I'm really confused, I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, Stephen, it's almost like what you said earlier. It depends on where you are. And I'm saying, wait a minute. The Spanish calendar had the first day of the week as Monday. So I am just so confused. Because if you think about it now, 12 hours from that, right now it's, what is it, after 6 o'clock? It's another day, already Saturday in the Philippines. So let me bring you in here, Ms. Brainerd. We explain this.
Yes.
See, somewhere else is probably already Sunday.
Well, you have different time zones. You have, you know, different countries are on different, you know, their day starts 12 hours later. So the Sabbath and every day, you know, some are 12 hours ahead, 12 hours behind, or, you know, the different time zones. So it can be confusing. So you just have to look to your Bible and go to the, if, like you say, you're confused, then you go to the scriptures, as the other sister said, and look at what the Sabbath is through the various writings through the Bible. So, I mean, it's up to that individual to follow the Bible and not man itself.
Okay, I think that that's a very interesting point. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Let's take a look at another scripture that people thought was in the Bible, and they say the love of money is the root. Money is the root of all evil. That money is the root of all evil. Lady C, we're going to ask you to help. Let's bring in Monica on now. Monica, is that what you've heard too, that money is the root of all evil?
The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I wanted to just made reference back to the discussion. The Bible said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God gave 10 commandments, just like he asked us to remember the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandment. And he said, listen, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not willing to do what I say? So that's why we have to study the scripture, search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. Because it's not the love of the loving money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money. Money is not bad. It's when you love it more than people and you will do anything to get it, even if somebody is hurt.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by on that one. Ms. Evans, I got to bring you in here. And a reminder, you all, we have the timer on, and it'll cut you off after 30 seconds. So we give everybody a chance to come back in. Ms. Evans, I want to bring you in because there's a scripture that makes reference to, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. So if I'm rich, then does that make it difficult for me to go to heaven? Ms. Evans. All right, let's go to Stephen. Let's bring you
in,
Stephen.
Yes, Mr. Walker. Yes.
Let's go to Stephen. Stephen, let's ask you that question. Stephen, the Bible makes reference to that. What do you say about that?
Well, you got to categorize what's rich. And ain't nothing wrong with having some money. But if you super rich or got a lot of money, you might be thinking like Trump. And people who are that rich get a little cocky and think they think they're all powerful. That's why it was kind of relating to the eye of a needle, a rich man would do it. But there's nothing wrong with having money. It's just a matter is, and like you said before, it's the love of money, not having money. It's the love of money that you would do anything to get it. You would kill your brother, sister, mom, whoever, for the love of money. And rich has different definitions of rich. Some people might think rich is having $1 million. That ain't necessarily rich. It means you got some money. You can be high middle class. So you can have money and still be in the kingdom, in my thoughts of it, but it's just your love for it that really was going to hurt you.
Okay. All right. See, we're going to ask stand by. Lady C, let's bring you back in. Ms. Evans, we'll come back to you in a moment. Give you a chance to come up. Be prepared, please. Lady C, I got to ask you this question. I heard what Stephen was saying, but really, I think that scripture is taken out of context. See, part of studying to show ourselves approved means that we need to go into the Bible, and not only into the Bible, but we need to go into other resources to cover what was going on during that time. Because when you tell me scripture says it's easier for a camel, I'm thinking about this big camel, and now I'm thinking about a needle that my mother used to use that you couldn't even put a thread through there. It was very hard. You got to squint your eyes and you got to wet the thread and all of this. I used to watch her do that. And I'm saying, this is really, wow. There's got to be an easier way. So now you're talking about a camel, something the size of a camel, to go through the eye of a needle. That's impossible. So it's almost like a conditioning where, oh, don't grow up to try to be rich. Don't grow up to try to be rich because you're not going to go to heaven. But that scripture is taken out of context because if you look at what was happening in those areas where those camels were, and the eye of a needle is made reference to not the needle that we look at. It's a different needle, size needle. And it's just like we say, and this may be a poor analogy, but I think the synonyms are different. But the pillar, some people will look at that and say, oh, well, that's a pillow. But it's a pillar, an edifice that holds up an edifice, a building. So it's like how you take these words, the etymology of them. Miss Lady C, let's bring you in. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Hasn't that been so misinterpreted? Or do you know?
Yes, Dr. Walker. I mean, a lot of it has been
misinterpreted, misunderstood, misrepresented.
Misunderstood, miscommunicated, and the list goes on. And to fully understand the Bible, we also have to study history.
Okay.
And
all right.
And most of us as Christians do not study history. But thank God for some of our historians. Honest. Historians.
But can you believe them? Come on, Miss Lady C.
No, but they lead you. We all have it in our power to go study history too.
See,
so
but that's what you're saying. Thank God for the historians, because now you're saying, and let's depend on man.
You did not let me finish.
Go ahead.
So you join the church, okay, and you're in the church, or you even grew up in the church, and all you hear is a pastor preaching, taking one scripture from the Bible, and everything else is his word, somewhat dissecting the scripture for you to understand, and the rest is his word. And then out of nowhere, you meet a pastor who studies a little deeper, and he goes into history to see why did the Bible say this? How was it interpreted this way? What does this mean? Just like what you just said, right?
Okay.
And then something goes off in your head. Oh, really? There were historians that said this or that and that about the Bible? And okay, right. So remember, when Jesus rose, right?
Right.
Was it only his disciples that saw him? Was it only Christians that saw him? No.
Were there?
No. Other people saw him, and they wrote about it too.
Okay.
So there were other writers who wrote about seeing Jesus that he did raise from the dead, even though the scribes and the Pharisees were trying to hide it and you know, put a cover over it. It's the same thing when Jesus was crucified, and the Bible said that the saints were risen from the grave and were walking throughout the entire town. Other people saw it too. It wasn't just Christians or people who accepted Jesus at the time.
Lady C, do you have scripture that supports that, or are you making up something?
No, there's scripture to support it in the New Testament. I can't remember the exact verse right now, but in the New Testament, it says all of that. So if the Bible tells you those things, it simply means that other people wrote it and the evidence is out there. So if you hear a pastor say something, you have it in your power to go and research history plus the Bible for yourself, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, because thy word is truth. God's word is truth.
Right. You know, and I want to set this disclaimer. The show is not intended to attack anyone. We're basically given our views and opinions, whether they be religious views, spiritual views, you know, but we respect everyone's opinions. And it's really a kind of a Bible discussion to hopefully bring some thought-provoking things in here to give all of us an idea that, like for me tonight, with being confused, I need to go back and realize that, like Ms. Lady C is saying, I need to go back and look at some more history and look as deep as I can to come up with something that brings satisfaction to my mind to make sense to me. So that's what this discussion is. It's not that we're disagreeing with anybody or attacking anybody or attacking anybody's denomination or their faith, you know, because we all have, like Ms. Brandon said, we all, you know, have our own choices that we make and our own interpretation. So we respect everybody's own. It's just I'm trying to, if I seem a little excited, it is because I'm an educator, and as an educator, you always want to know. We're searching for truth, and I believe that that's what we're all doing, is searching for truth. So with that in mind, Ms. Evans, let's bring you in, and I've got to ask this question, Ms. Evans, because we're almost out of time already. My goodness, this hour goes fast. Ms. Evans, I've got to ask this question because there are so many scriptures out here that we thought were in the Bible, but they're not, in fact, in the Bible. And so when we go to when we look at one and we start to talk about, you know, God helps those that help themselves, is that a scripture in the Bible, Ms. Evans?
If there's that, no, Mr. Witt, no. There's not a scripture in the Bible that's about that awful.
But why do they say that, especially you know, growing up as a kid, I remember hearing that. God help those that help themselves. And I'm like, wait a minute. So what does my mom want me to do? Because she's telling me that. So I got to do something to help myself. And I thought that was in the scriptures. Yes.
No, it's not in the scripture, Mr. Walker. It's not. But God gave all of us a mandate. God gave all of us, just like he gave us all a measure of faith, and he expects us to use that faith, and he gave us gift, and he expects us to use that gift. God, and he gave us talent, and he expects to use the talent. He gave us everyone that he created. He gave something to do. And in fact, when he tell the man, the man with the withered, and stretch out your hand, that man had was to obey and stretch out his hand. So we all have something to do. But outside of Christ, we are useless, we are helpless, we can't do nothing of ourselves. The only thing we can do is to follow his lead, follow his command. He said, obey me, we obey him. Outside of him, we can't do anything. He said in Mark 11:23, when he said, if when you say something, I will follow you. We have to do what he asks us to do. In the book of Matthew 18, he said, whatever we bind down here, he bound up there. Whatever we loose down here, he loose up there. So outside of him, we cannot do anything. But whatever he asks us to do, that is what we do.
I see. Okay. Ms. Evans, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring you back in here. Ms. Brandon, then we'll come to you. Stephen, and here's another scripture, I mean, that people thought may have been in the Bible. Be in the world, but not of the world. Have you heard that one, Stephen? Be in the world, but not of the world.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I heard that.
So where do they get these from?
They come up with different things that they're trying to motivate people by a different phrase, just like Muhammad Ali, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. These things, pastors and ministers feel will give you some uplift. It's not scripture, but they're looking at it as uplift, saying something good or saying something, you know, a little different, that hopefully they will uplift you to, you know, into the word or start reading the word or something like that. But a lot of those expressions and things are not in the thus said the Lord, but they use them to in their preaching and teaching and to be all in the bag of chips. Excuse me.
Right. Ms. Brandon, let's bring you in here. I mean, if you give a quote from someone who says something, like Stephen just said, Muhammad Ali, He more than likely he coined that phrase. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You can't hit what your eyes can't see. That was Muhammad Ali's
right.
thing, and I got him. For those of you that are watching me on Facebook Live, I got a picture of Muhammad Ali on the wall up there. You're able to see it. But now, you know, and you got quotation marks there at the beginning and the end, and then you have under there Muhammad Ali. So, Ms. Brandon, my question to you is, why is it that people paraphrase a lot of the Bible? And is it for convenience, you know, when they make up these scriptures, or even scriptures that are not even in the Bible? Is it for convenience?
I don't think it's for convenience. I think it's for people to relate, because when the Bible is written, maybe certain words people don't relate to, and they have to look up, okay, what does this word actually mean? You know, they take it out of context. So people throw out these things, that these catchy phrases, for motivation, to bring things where they may can understand it and not understand it, thus says the Lord in the Bible. So I think it's just phrases that they are motivating people to do things that they can understand, and not just really rewriting the word of God, but trying to break it down in layman's terms what they think it is. Here you are, you have man's interpretation, just like you have different interpretations of the Bible.
Right.
You got the new, so you have to just, like you say, study yourself and study history, look up what the different words mean to know what God is actually saying to you instead of listening
right.
to man itself.
Right. Marlene, are you back with us? If If you want to speak to us, you all have to press 1 on your dial. If you have a comment that you'd like to say, you have to press 1. Let's go to, let's see here. Lady C, let's bring you back in. I believe you have something you want to share with us. Go ahead.
Okay, Dr. Walker, like, you know, take, for instance, Philippians 4:13, okay? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay.
This particular scripture has been taken out of context so much, and I just want to share this with you. This verse has nothing to do with dunking a basketball, hitting a game, winning home run, bench pressing a bus, winning the lottery, or closing a business deal. It has nothing to do with that, right? The Apostle Paul is under house arrest, awaiting his trial, where he may possibly be put to death for preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? However,
okay.
Being defeated by unfortunate circumstances, Paul is using this opportunity to teach the young church in Philippi that he can endure any and every circumstances, up and downs, highs and lows, because he has the strength he has the strength that only comes from Christ. Right?
Uh-huh. Right.
So and so many people have gotten so much, so in-depth and deep into worldly things because they associate this particular scripture with it.
Mm-hmm.
Things
right.
that have
right.
nothing to do with Christ.
But that's coming from the Bible, though. That's coming from the Bible, and it is a scripture. And I have used that myself because when I was a quarterback, I'm saying we're down to 7 seconds on the clock. And we're down. You know, we need a touchdown to win the game. And I'm saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm praying, Lord,
so
let me.
Threw that touchdown, huh?
Yeah, I threw that touchdown, and we made a touchdown. We won the game. So
you
are you saying then that I took
to
that
make sure.
out of context? Lady C?
Yes, Dr. Walker, because it really. Okay, not that God can't help us accomplish certain things from a human perspective that doesn't have anything to do with biblical trials or temptations and stuff like that, but when we use it so loosely, sometimes it loses its meaning and its value.
All right.
And
okay,
and
that's powerful.
I've done that scriptures a lot.
Right, but see, when after I won that game, me too. After I won that game, now it's like I can get up and preach this here and have other people thinking how I thought, because God delivered us that we won the championship. We won the championship with the last 7 seconds, and it's like I can get up there and preach and say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So am I telling the people wrong? Ms. Brandon, that's for you.
No, I don't think so, but again, sometimes we stretch it a little bit too far. I'm not saying, okay, all right, someone is hired on a job. They think they can't
right.
do the job. They're working for money. And I say
right.
to them, come on, I'm teaching you this way. You could do this. I can't. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God says you're supposed to work. So come on, you can do this. You know, it's,
right.
it's okay to encourage someone like that.
Right.
But
I get
mean,
it.
We
I get
I agree with Lady C.
Tonight.
We're down to 90 seconds. Let me bring Ms. Evans in. Ms. Evans, can we then why can't we just make up our own scripture sometimes to help people out? Like it's been said, to bring it down to layman's terms where people can understand it, even if it just mixes it up.
Mr. Walker, you couldn't, because the Bible reminds us that we must need a hard, not subtract. So hiding our own text, we couldn't do that. We cannot add
okay,
anything to God's word, and we cannot subtract anything from his word.
Right. So if that's the case, Lady C, when Paul said that, Paul was saying his opinion, and wasn't that subjective, Lady C? And we're down to 40 seconds. All right, we'll wait for Lady C. Stephen, let's bring you in. Wasn't that subjective what Paul was saying? That came from Paul's opinion.
Well,
Stephen?
But people gonna put things in their own words to inspire people because they feel it may come from the Holy Spirit for those words to come out. So if that's what they feel, that they're inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that, then so be it. That's different from what the Bible says, but they're getting
right.
something into them, expressing themselves, and that's the way they express themselves, good, bad, or
wow.
indifferent.
Wow, listen, this
but
has been a great show tonight, you all. We're going
to
have another show upcoming real soon Why do people interpret the Bible? Why do we have so many different interpretations and different denominations? That's upcoming soon, probably next week. They'll let me know. But, Lady C, we're going to give you the final word. We thank all of you all for joining us this evening. We're clearly out of time. We're down to the last 20 seconds. Lady C, give us a final thought on, when it comes to the Bible, do people make up their own scriptures, and how do we counter that?
Yes, we do, Dr. Walker. People do it. And my encouragement would be to really get a little deeper than we have, especially during these last days when there is so many false prophets out there and people are easily swayed like wavering seas. There's everything on the internet. Go to the library, sit down one day and just find history, Christian history, when it all started, et cetera, et cetera. And the books, one thing I noticed with Christian authors, they always quote other authors or historians. One historian always quotes another historian. So books will lead up to books, and you will get answers more deeply that you have never known existed about the Bible and
okay.
Jesus Christ and his ministry. So I say go for it. Study deeper and never leave the Holy Spirit out. Always ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, wisdom, knowledge. I mean, just put aside your own carnal flesh, your own mind and way of thinking, and just have an open mind and an open heart to learn
all right, on that,
truth, the Holy Spirit.
On that, we're out of time. I'm getting threatened again, you all, so we've got to get off the air. Listen, I want to thank everybody for staying with us tonight. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, call in at least 5 to 7 minutes earlier before the show and press 1 so you'll go into a queue. Listen, join me tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock on Zoom. If you don't know how to get into the Zoom, we have a special code that will get you in. You need to contact me at 954-367-6766. If you missed that, just go to my website, drjessewalker.com, drjessewalkerinc.com, or drjwalker.com. And it'll give you my office number, and it'll ring me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So listen, we start out tomorrow morning about 6:45, and we'll go to 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So from 7 to 8 officially, we'll be on a Zoom, and it's with divine. We're praying once again. We got 3 special requests, and then we're also praying for God's divine intervention. We're going to keep that going every month. Listen, join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. And, of course, if you can't join us next Thursday, join us back here next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. Until next Thursday, until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Good night.